make you want to go fishing with Irv? I mean, he just looks like the coolest guy. And boy, is he making a difference in his life. You know, you can be an influencer all the days of your life as well. Others have done that. Winston Churchill became Prime Minister of Great Britain when he was 65. And what a gift that was to the world. Or you take into consideration Thomas Edison. He was busy at the laboratories even when he was 84. And then you look at Benjamin Franklin, who worked with quarreling delegates to try to get the U.S. Constitution ratified when he was 81. I mean, there had to be some crabby discussions putting that thing together. And then Ed Delano from California bicycled 3,100 miles recently in 33 days, and he's 74. You know, we live in a day where we want to stay young as long as we can. And today's maturing generation want to be in the game. They want to be influencers. And that's why in 2010, our Westwood Leadership Board formed the 2020 Vision Task Force to give consideration to the changing demographics and needs in our own community. And last year they gave, after an 18-month study and research assessment period of time, they gave their findings and recommendations to our leadership board, encouraging us to pay attention to four primary areas where our influence could be significant in this next decade. I wish I had time to go through each of those, but I'm going to encourage you to go to our website. You'll find both the deep dive report and a summary report right on the cover page of our website, and read it. It's well worth the time, and you'll get a good assessment of how this community is changing. And one of the recommendations is that we would pay attention to the fastest growing population group in the Southwest community here, and that is the maturing generation. This is what we've learned, that there will be more in the maturing generation by the year 2020 than there are today by 250,000 people. And within Chanhassen proper specific, a 50% growth by the year 2030. That this is a generation where they're living longer and they're working longer, especially since 2008 when the economy changed and many left retirement to re-engage into the workforce. The maturing adults want their retirement years to have purpose. They want their lives to count, to be significant. And we want to come alongside and help that become a reality. At the end of my message today, I'm going to invite Pastor Mark Nelson, who has been our worship arts pastor here at Westwood for 18 years. And he has accepted an invitation to move into leadership as a pastor in this given arena, which will get launched soon. And I'm going to have him give voice to that at the end of my message. Let me invite you to take out your teaching notes as we continue and actually wrap up today this influencer series, looking at our last character, and that is the character of Caleb. In fact, you'll look at the teaching notes there and see the question that I want to address tonight, which is simply this: how do you stay young and fruitful all of your days? How can you be an influencer through the whole of your life? I'm going to give four practical answers to that question, but then tuck it under the umbrella of vision. Because vision is so critically important to staying young. Your view of God, your view of self, your view of others through the changing seasons of your life will make all the difference in terms of how you can be fruitful and an influencer in your journey. In fact, I want to define vision specifically and apply it to the life of this great influencer in the scriptures by the name of Caleb. Caleb's story is found in Joshua 14 and Numbers 13 and 14. He's known as the gray-haired conqueror, the old man who never stopped growing, because he was 85 years old when he stood at the doorstep of the promised land, ready to go in and conquer and divide in order to receive the land that God had promised to him specifically. 85. It's an extraordinary story, but really you have to go back to when he was 40 years old to see its magnificence, because when he was 40, in the prime of his life, that's when the people of God, Israel, stood at the doorstep to the promised land the first time. He was 40 years of age. God was doing amazing, miraculous things for the Jewish people. He had freed them from Egyptian slavery. He had parted the Red Seas to allow them to enter into a place of safety. He had brought them to a great mount, and on that mount would be delivered to them what we know today as the Ten Commandments. And just 3 days or 4 days after that experience on Mount Sinai, they find themselves at the edge of the promised land, seeing the land that God had promised to them. A land God told them that would be flowing with milk and honey. A land that God promised to give them as their new home. But to enter it, they would need to see it the way God saw it. Let me give you the first link to the definition of vision, and that vision is the ability to see. It's the ability to see God's preferred future for your life, for your family, for us as a church. It's the ability to see, and they're right at the edge of the promised land, and they can see it. And so Moses sends 12 spies into the land to scout it out in preparation of conquering that land. But 10 of the spies come back, and they don't like what they see. And they tell everybody about what they don't like in Numbers 13, 31. We can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." I think that little line there at the end is a pretty good descriptor of sometimes how we feel as a people. I think that adage is true, that some people see the glass half empty, and some people see the glass half full. And for 10 of these 12 spies, they see the glass half empty. From their vantage point, the mighty people that lived in that land could not be conquered. That there were impregnable fortresses that could not be brought down. That there were giants in the land that made them look like grasshoppers. And so the people became afraid because of the description of those 10 spies. And they didn't want to go into the land of Canaan, even if it was the promised land that God had for them. But then two of the spies, Caleb and Joshua, saw the glass half full. They saw the beauty. They saw the riches. They saw the milk and the honey that was flowing in the land. And by the way, that's a literal picture of the land. It seems like every week since I've returned from Israel, I've been throwing some little anecdote in there. And I do the same again here. It really is the land flowing with milk and incredible honey. In fact, the best yogurt I've ever eaten is in the Middle East. And I'm working hard to try to find it here. And I just found some really great yogurt at Byerly's. I'm inspired to a whole new bar of yogurt experience if you're interested in following it. And the land that's flowing with honey, it's a lot of honey. One of our surprises, both in Turkey and in Israel, is every morning for breakfast, they have these incredible buffets. And at the end of each of the buffets was a honeycomb, large honeycomb, dripping with honey with your bagels right here. Doesn't it make you just want to go have a bagel with a little sweet honey? It's true. It's the land flowing with milk and honey even today. And that's an incredible picture that we find of these two spies who see the glass half full. In fact, their description of it is really wonderful, Numbers 14, verse 7. But Caleb stood up before the whole assembly and told them, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us." So how do you stay young and fruitful all of your days? Well, vision is the ability to see, yes. And to see, you have to keep on learning. If you want to stay young, you've got to be learners for life. And if you're a learner for life and you keep on learning, something happens. Your mind gets stretched in every season of your life. Your heart gets enlarged. Your passion gets ignited for Jesus Christ and all that he's doing around you. When we stop learning, we stop seeing God for who he is and all that he's doing around us and the new territories that he wants us to enter into. In fact, I've asked this question many times through the years. There are certain questions I come back to again and again because I think they're critically important. They're anchor kinds of questions for our identity and our life. But I've asked you many times, do you believe that God is working around you all of the time? I got one yes. Do you believe that God is working around you all of the time? In all of the services, everybody said yes right away. So, you know, I know it's late on a beautiful day. You took a nap this afternoon, didn't you? Okay. Yeah, that's okay. Well, throughout the years as I've asked that question, there's always been a yes response, with the exception of this evening, but we got there eventually. And it's because we really do believe God is working around us all the time. But if you stop learning, something happens. Your mind grows dull. Your heart gets hard, even dead. And your passions, they fizzle out. So if you really believe that God is working around you all of the time, there must be a dynamic energy of his presence that's awakening us in every season of our life. It's a reminder to be learners all of our lives. It's hard to be an influencer if you're not learning, because then you'll eventually see yourself as a grasshopper. And that's not God's vision of who we are. If you quit learning, you will begin to age and slow down at a very rapid rate. So I encourage you to read and to study and to engage in what God is doing. We believe that God is awakening us as a church to a new territory that He wants us to enter into, to reach this maturing generation, but also the young adult population, which is a message for another day. But today we're looking at this maturing population. So vision is the ability to see God's preferred future for your life. But complementing is this, that vision is the faith to believe that God will provide the resources to see that vision come to fruition. So do you have an expectant faith? I'm not asking that casually. I'm asking it purposefully, intentionally. Do you have an expectant faith? An on the edge of our seats kind of faith. You know what an on the edge of your seat kind of faith is. It's a readiness for what God wants to do. It's on the edge of your seat, ready, expectant of God who is working around you all the time. And you said, yes, you believe He's working around you all the time, that He is engaging you in life and purpose in wonderful ways. Do you have an on the edge of our seats kind of faith like Nick Willenda? Did you watch this past week? When Nick Willenda crossed the Grand Canyon on that line with no safety ropes, we watched it as a family, and it took him 22 minutes to get across. And I was on the edge of my seat through the whole experience and out of my seat several times because he almost lost it two different times while he was going across. I didn't know that Nick was a Christ follower until I was watching the show. He prayed from the beginning of his walk to the end of his walk out loud. Now you can see why as he did this. I was praying for him from the beginning of his walk to the end of his walk as well. But no, he's an authentic Christ follower. And his prayers were really wonderful to hear. And they changed, by the way, as he walked across the line. So he was praying at one moment, the first third of his journey across that line, he was praying about the majesty of God. Thank you, God, for the beauty of the sky. Thank you, Jesus. He would call out the name of Jesus for the Grand Canyon, for this creation that surrounds me as he's walking across this line. But as he got just a bit past a third of the way through, almost toward the halfway mark, the winds kicked up and the line began to sway. And you could tell he was in a different mode. His prayers changed like that. In fact, he went down slowly to steady the line, holding himself. And his prayers were, oh God, still the winds. Hold the line. And his dad began to speak to him over the intercom system that he had in his ear. And all this was recorded on live television for us, telling him that he was doing okay, hang in there. And he says to his dad, please stop talking to me right now. It's not a time to have a conversation with your father when you're that far up and the winds are blowing. But he prayed himself across the line, praising God for the beauty of creation, but praying that God would get him across. He believed God would get him across. And that's why he did it. Caleb is on the edge of his seat at the doorstep to the promised land. And he sees the beauty of what God has provided. Because he was a spy, he got to go into the land and to see it, and it was beautiful. And he praised God for the beauty of the creation that would be theirs as a people. And he believed that God would get them into the land, even though there were giants in the land. Numbers 14:9, he tries to encourage the people, saying, only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. The protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. You think about your life. Those times when you have expectant faith and you know God is just doing something wonderful in your life. And those times when you have a hard time believing God at all. See, unbelief looks to the giants and sees giants. But belief looks to God and sees God. Unbelief depends upon us and ourselves. But belief depends upon God, and we know that we need Him to get through to the place that He has for us, in spite of the giants that are in our own given land and territory. I think there's a real practical application for us in our lives and our journey to this end. When you begin to see the problems in your life as greater than God, then you no longer turn to God. You lean on yourself and you look to others to help you navigate it. But when you see that God is greater than your problems, then you turn to God. Because you need Him and want Him, and you beseech His presence in your life and your journey. Caleb is in essence telling the people, yeah, the Canaanites are big, but our God is bigger still. He's saying to them that the Canaanites are strong, but our God is stronger still. That God had just overcome Pharaoh, we witnessed it. That we came against the mighty army of Egypt, we saw God part the waters. That God brought us to the front door of the promised land. Let's go in. The door of opportunity is now. But the people didn't go in. Because there were 10 spies who said, the giants are really big. We don't want to go into Canaan. And they rejected the promise of God. It's a bit humbling to sit on passages like this because what you hear in this is that there are consequences. When God gives a promise to you in your life and he brings you to the doorstep of the promise to be fulfilled and you reject the promise of God, see the implication? You reject God. You reject God and you say, no, thank you, God. I don't believe that you have the resources to do what you promised here. I'm going to live in the safety and the security of my little bubble world. It feels safer here. And there's consequences. And in this case, there were profound consequences because God turns them away from the promised land and they're forced to wander in the wilderness for 40 long years. And during those 40 years, the scholars tell us that they believe that over 2 million men and women died. I think it's important in the story of history when we hear about Israel in the wilderness, because sometimes we get detached from the detail and we think, why would a good God allow his people, whom he delivered from slavery, to wander in the wilderness for 40 years? Why would he do that? And you're getting the detail. He didn't. They did. They rejected God and the promise. And many died as a result of it, never to see the land that had been promised. Even though they had seen it at the doorstep, they didn't enter into it. Numbers 14:29. God told them, in this desert, your bodies will fall. Every one of you 20 years old or more who was counted in the census and who has grumbled against me, not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh. And Joshua, son of Nun. How do you stay young and fruitful all of your days? Well, yes, you keep learning, but also you have to keep leaning into God. Not away from God, but into God. I love the practical application of just that simple little picture, because right now where you're seated, you can answer that question about your faith. Right now, with your faith, are you leaning into God with your life or away from God? And if you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm not intentionally leaning away from God, but you're not intentionally leaning toward God, you're leaning away from God. I hope that's clear. And the call of faith is to believe that God gives the resources to lead you to fulfill the vision that he has for your life. And that requires that you lean into God. And Caleb's determination to get back to the promised land is not in his own strength during this wilderness journey. He keeps leaning into God again and again and again. There's a parenthetical thought. I think it's noteworthy, at least as I was studying this, to consider that Caleb still had to share in the consequences of his people. That there's a communal experience that we have together as the body of Christ, as the people of God and the children of God. So that when our loved ones, the loved ones in our sphere of influence, choose not to go with the way or the will of God, and the consequences that they have to endure and go through, well, they're shared by those of us who love them, who may be like Caleb, where we have abided and we have obeyed. And I can speak to all of you who are parents, who've had children who have been wayward or drifted away from God, and what that does to your own soul. It puts you on your knees. You suffer with them. There's a communal dimension to the consequences that come when we rebel and reject God and his directive for us. But expectant faith, like Caleb, the edge of the seat kind of faith, is leaning into God and not leaning out. And in so doing, God has opened our eyes here at Westwood to see a new ministry opportunity for this maturing generation. We're leaning into him with expectant faith for what will happen to our church in the years ahead as we go forward. Vision is the ability to see, and it's the faith to believe, but there's more to it. It's the courage to do. as well. All that you need to do to see the vision fulfilled, because we're in partnership with God. Deuteronomy 1:36, God said to Caleb, he will see it, and I will give him and his descendants the land that he set his feet on, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. If you have your Bibles open, I'd circle that little phrase, and he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. I'm going to come back to that in a short while. See, from this day on, Caleb had a dream. He knew that he had a piece of property with his name on it. That God had brought him back to the doorstep of the promised land the second time around, and he had staked his claim on the prettiest land available, because as you recall, he was a spy. He had been into the land. He knew the land. And as he was a spy going through the land, he was thinking to himself, a little bit self-serving, oh, that would be a great home right there on that piece of land. He not only believed that they could conquer the people, he was already building his house in his mind on that hillside. And it's interesting, if you go to Israel, you'll see that there are a lot of archaeological digs on hillsides, because that's where the giants lived. The kings tend to live on the highest land. They were most protected when they were on the hills. He chose the hills of Hebron, some of the most beautiful hills in all of Israel. This was a smart spy and a good guy. That's where I want to build my house, he says to himself. He wants a room with a view, and he's going to eventually get it. And yet he faces great challenges still. The giants are still there. He's not 40 any longer. He's 85. That's pretty old to be taking on giants from our mindset. Because in our society, we're convinced that we become less useful the older we get. And there's a strong cultural message about that, but that's not the biblical narrative at all. We have an opportunity to be influencers all of our days. And so how do you stay young and fruitful in all of your life? Well, you keep learning and you keep leaning, but also you keep laboring. We age and become less fruitful if we stop working. That's just the nature of it. One of my mentors shared some wisdom with me when I was in my mid-30s that's really been helpful for life and for leadership. When he said to me that the most effective life and leadership is the result of the thousands of right little decisions that you make. We tend to think of the big ones and define ourselves around the big ones, but it's the thousands of little right decisions that you make that nobody else even knows about, but the cumulative effect take you to an end result that will be greater than if you try to take shortcuts through those little right decisions. So glad for that wisdom that he gave. Because it was a wisdom that has life for me even today. A wisdom that I see in Caleb. Over 40 years traveling in the wilderness, he does the right little things. We get a few glimpses of some of those right little things. For instance, he didn't join the rest of the people in their grumbling and complaining when they were having to eat manna from heaven and they were dreaming of steak with mushrooms. He didn't join in the complaining. Isn't that interesting? When you complain and turn into a grumbling spirit, you age very quickly. And not too many people want to hang around you either. And also, you look at his life, he left his disappointments and failures behind. It's important to say that because people who are constantly looking back have a hard time moving forward. And if you're stuck thinking of what could have been and all your energy is there, then you'll not embrace what can be. Because we have a God of grace who gives second chances. And yes, all of us have those chapters and we think, oh, if I could just go back and make a correction right there, think about where my life would be. But you don't have control over that. You only have control over today as you abide and obey the will of God for today. And you think about the possibilities of what God has for you today, because God is working around you all of the time. Do you believe that God is working around you all of the time? Oh, much better. Yes, you do. And therefore, he's preparing for you a future where you get to be the light of his grace wherever you find yourself. And also, he did his part during those 40 years. He worked. We get to work. Does that sound familiar? We get to work. That was God's design for us. And so maybe our work changes. After the 8:30 this morning, I had a maturing generation man come down and speak with me about the message. And he was really quite clever in what he said. He said, you know, I'm retired now, but I hate that word. He put an emphasis on it. I hate that word, because when I think about retire, I think about changing the tires on my car after they're 40,000 miles in the distance. He goes, we don't retire. We refocus. We have different jobs, but we get to work in every season of our life. God made it so. That's how we get to be influencers. Your jobs may change, but your work is critical to staying young and being purposeful in life. Vision is the ability to see. It's the faith to believe. It's the courage to do. There's one more expression to vision, and that is the hope to endure. All the things you have to go through to see vision come to life. All the giants and the obstacles in your land that seem to press you down and keep you away from God's best and His vision for you. Caleb says, I follow the Lord my God wholeheartedly. In fact, six times you'll find that phrase related to Caleb and Joshua. It's the fuel of their hope. I followed the Lord wholeheartedly. They gave themselves fully to the Lord. They knew the great commandment that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all of your being. You are to give yourself unto the Lord. They understood that. And they gave themselves to the Lord to that end. And Caleb keeps hope alive, even during those 40 years. Or maybe it's better said this way. God keeps hope alive in Caleb as he serves the Lord wholeheartedly. That's his promise. That when you give the fullness of your life to the Lord, not one foot in and one foot out, but both feet in the deep end of grace, His promise is to give you hope even in the face of giants. And so at 85, on the doorstep of the promised land, with confidence and courage, Caleb says, John 14:12, give me this hill country. Oh, the confidence is there. And you think, well, how could you say that at 85? Aren't you too old to be taking upon yourself conquering lands and beating up giants? Not in his own mind. In fact, I love this little text, Joshua 14:11. In fact, I'm going to write it out. I want to put it on a little index card. And I'm going to put it in my car or by my bedside or something. This is well worth the writing down. John 14 says, I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me into the land. As my strength was then, so my strength is now. Come on, Caleb. You're 85. You were 40 then. I'm just in my 50s. I wake up different than when I was in my 40s. I can feel the difference physically. You're not the same as when you were 40. It's not a call around your physical strength, even though we're called to be fit. It's a mindset. Aging has more to do about mindset than anything else. And his mindset was, I have as much vigor to see that I am used to fulfill the vision that God has for our people today at 85 as when I was 40. Bring it on, God. I want to be part of it. I'm going to be an influencer. And he's engaged to that end. Caleb knew how to stay young and fruitful. He had to wait years for the blessing to materialize, but he didn't lose hope. He didn't stop dreaming. He didn't doubt the goodness of God. His faith was tested, no doubt, during those 40 years. He probably wondered, am I ever going to get to the promised land? But he does get there. He doesn't give in to doubts or fears. And Caleb gets vision. He gets the ability to see and the faith to believe and the courage to do and the hope to endure. Why? I think it's found in this statement. I'm going to put it on the screen. A professor put this on the blackboard in his class with his students. And he asked the students to write down on a sheet of paper what they were reading. And the majority of the students in the class wrote down, God is nowhere. But a few students wrote down, God is now here. Do you see the difference? Because when you have the mindset that God is now here, you're living your life with the confidence of His presence in your journey. That He is working around you all the time, providing for your every need all the time. Resourcing you to see the vision that He has for your life fulfilled. That God is here, present. And when you believe that, you get vision. And can have eyes that see, and faith that believes, and courage to do what you need to do, and the hope to endure all those giants in your land. How do you stay young and fruitful all of your life? Well, yeah, you got to be learners for life. And you got to lean into God, and you got to keep laboring, but also you want to keep listening. If you want to stay young and fruitful all the days of your life, listen to the voice of God. Listen to the voice of God through His Word. Open up the pages of Scripture. I think of the millions of dollars that are spent on facial cream to make us look young. Get my counsel here tonight. Just open up your Bible, save your money. Read your Bible. It will make you young because the wisdom that you need to live comes from the inside, not from the outside. And He will resource you as you open up the pages of Scripture and walk with Him in that journey. So enter into that listening of God's voice through the Word, through godly men and women. And can I add godly children, little boys and girls? Because for some reason, God uses children to teach us the values of the kingdom. Because children are innocent and more receptive to the fullness of God in their lives. And listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Because if you have faith in Jesus Christ, that means you have the Holy Spirit who mediates the very person of Jesus Christ in your life and in your way. Listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Be still and know that I am God, He says. Carve out those times where you can attend to the presence of the Lord so you can listen to His voice as He seeks to lead you. Keep on listening. And then you might be able to have the expectant faith of Caleb and share his words, Lord, give me this hill country. I am as strong today as when I was 40. Keep learning and keep leaning, keep laboring, keep listening, and keep loving God. Follow Him wholeheartedly, and you can stay young, and you can be fruitful and influencer all of your days. Isn't that a good news message from the Scripture? And this part of the change and the new territory God is inviting us to is really significant and wonderful. I'm going to invite Pastor Mark Nelson to come up. I want you to hear his voice about what's been happening over really a number of years as we've considered this new chapter that's before us. And as he's coming up and settling in, I pulled some pictures of Mark from an earlier time. When he came to us in 1995, we started the church, and he arrived on June 8th, 1995. And that's us in front of the Chanhassen Dinner Theater, our first home as a church. And yes, Mark, people have laughed after every service.
Yeah, and I can't figure it out because I'll speak for myself, but I think we were trying to look good.
We did, but I think it's the hair, Mark. I'm not sure.
Yours or mine?
Yeah. Well, more yours than mine. Okay, I mean, put a ruler on it. What do you see? You got 2 inches on me on
that
hair.
That is tall hair.
It's probably tall hair.
That is tall hair.
It was in then, though. It was very, very good. It was very good. And then here's his family when they moved here.
Right.
Yeah. Are they great?
That's cute.
Adorable. And here they are today.
Christmas. That's a good shot.
This is Christmas. Past Christmas. And you might recognize the Jeremiah Johnson guy there with the beard on the end, John Mark, who plays here in the Element Service, the drums and other instruments as well, as an emerging musician, and just returned on a tour, in fact. So good to see the family together. Mark, this has been an amazing ride. And
it has.
Yeah, 18 years we've been together.
It's a long time.
It's been a delight. But now there's a whole new chapter unfolding. And I think for all of us, when you go through major times of change, it can be disconcerting. This is a pretty major change where Mark has been on a platform singing and leading and coordinating our worship experience and song here for 18 years to move into a whole new chapter. And right. How did you begin to discern that there was something in the wind, something else for you in vocational ministry?
That's a good question. I think for me it goes back to my 50th birthday, which was 2007, and the realization that I had pretty much reached the second half point in my life, assuming that I would live to 100. And I had a couple of personal goals, primarily an educational goal. And at 50, I either needed to give it up or act on it. And I had the desire to get a master's level degree. And I had always assumed that I would get that in the area of worship studies. But because I was 50 and I didn't execute that goal when I was 35 or 40, I had to project out and look into the future and ask myself, okay, if it's going to take me 5 years to get a master's level degree, what do I see myself doing 10 years from now that could possibly justify that degree? And when I projected out into the future, somehow I didn't envision myself 10 years past 50 singing into a microphone on a stage.
Yeah.
So that changed.
He said this out loud in 2007 at a staff retreat.
Correct.
Experience we had. So we have 4 staff retreats with pastors and directors in the course of the year. Some of those are personal sharing times. What is God doing around us as we're
right.
paying attention to our own lives and our future? And he said this out loud. So as his supervisor at that time, I thought, oh, that may impact what I'm doing as well. So it was one of those moments in time. But we've been able to dialogue through the years. It's been really amazing
right.
to see how God has brought a convergence of your transition in place
right.
and the Vision 2020 Task Force. So
right.
specifically, how did he give you this passion, where did it get rooted in for right. this maturing generation?
Well, on June 5th, this month, I turned 56. So I'm already 1 year past the date that I said I wouldn't be leading yeah. into the microphone anymore. And you've been gracious to give me that extension, so I appreciate it. Well, in the process of my education at Bethel Seminary, I came across this book. And the title is, Even Better After 50. And I thought to myself, well, that's an interesting book title. And, of course, I started to read it. And it was the subtitle that really captivated me. And the subtitle states, How to Become and Remain Well of Body, Wise of Mind, and Whole of Spirit in the Second Half of Your Life. And when I read that, I thought to myself, that's for me.
So you embraced it, and God began to grow this vision. And we're using this language, and I think it's always difficult with language. Words have different meanings. The same word means one thing to one person and another thing to another person. And we're throwing out this term maturing generation. Right. Well, what does that term mean, and who are they?
Right, the mature generation. Actually, I picked up that term from the 2020 vision study that you mentioned earlier on in the service. And I thought, mature generation, that really is a good title. And there is a stigma, cultural stigma, associated with the term senior and senior citizen. And it's especially true of the aging baby boomers. They do not like the term senior citizen. So I floated a trial balloon with several of my boomer friends, and I asked, well, what do you think of the term mature generation? And most of them don't like that either.
Just not a win.
So I thought to myself, well, what are we going to call the aging baby boomers? And so I thought we would call them the big babies.
That's good. It sounds like you're poised for strategic leadership there,
yeah,
Mark, and
work.
People will follow that. I don't care what you're going to call them, because the reality is baby right. boomers don't want to age. So any
right.
title you give probably is going to be deficient
right.
along the way. Just talk about the vision of the mature generation
right.
and its ministry that you're starting to unpack as you
well,
look to the future.
The vision of the ministry is to reach the mature generation with the love of Jesus Christ. And at the core and the central foundation of the ministry will be evangelism and reaching people with the good news of Jesus Christ. Because to age well is to age in Christ. Without the love and the forgiveness that God offers, the chances of aging well are not that good.
Yeah. As you think about how people can get involved, I'm going to give you a moment to
sure.
explain some of the different links that people can connect to. But I first want to tee this up in terms of our own transition. Mark begins the transition into his new job tomorrow. So it's imminent. But we have the benefit of Mark being on our team rather than just leaving our church for another ministry opportunity. That's a gift to us.
Right.
As we talk about the transition on the platform for worship and what gets lifted up here. So he's going to be a voice through the summer. You'll see him on the platform quite a bit. But beginning in September, you'll see him once a month at best. And he'll eventually just move away from a primary voice on the platform. We've already been working diligently, made plans for the fall, and excited for the Worship Arts Ministry in the fall. And we're currently engaged in setting up the infrastructure for how the search will take place. It will be a national search for the replacement of this position. So we're well underway, but I sure would invite your prayers. It's a significant change for our church family. After Mark has led that arena so public up front for 18 years, and to be able to make this gracefully, it really requires your support and advocacy. And I know we have that, Mark, and that's a gift to the church as a whole. But how can people who are interested in the mature generation or this ministry learn more about it?
Well, there is an insert in the program. I think the primary way is for us to get to know each other. So if you have any interest whatsoever in the ministry, pull out that insert. And then there's going to be a reception table out in the commons area where Elizabeth and I will be, and you can place that in a basket. And then, of course, you can like us, Mature Generation, on Facebook. You can follow Mark L. Nelson on Twitter, and maturegeneration.com is up.
It's a hip maturing generation ministry, which, hey, it's a new day. It's how we connect through
day.
Technology, and it's great. Mark, I think I can say this with all sincerity. Not only do I love you as a brother in Christ, boy, the journey we shared together has been a gift
great.
From God. And most people don't realize this, but there is a sociology in church roles and dynamics.
Correct.
And one of the most conflicted arenas in most churches is the relationship between the pastor and the worship arts pastor. And that's not been our journey.
No, it has not.
We've had the blessing of God's unity as we've served together these 18 years, and I know that that will continue. So
it's very true.
It's not hard to say God's favor has been on you and your influence here, and I pray that it will increase into the future. And on behalf of all of us, I think we want to say thank you for your faithful service for this part of the chapter. And Elizabeth as well. In fact, Elizabeth is here. Could you stand, Elizabeth? There's Elizabeth. And Mark, I'm going to have you stand. I'm going to invite Mark and Elizabeth to make their way out. We have a table with balloons out here with a little receiving line that I just really believe this is an important value in Scripture, and you find it in Scripture, that we're wise to stop and look back and say thank you for what God has done in our midst as we give energy moving forward. So you might want to stop by and say hi to Mark and Liz and thanks. But if you're interested in learning more about the maturing generation, you can stop by the table and bring your little sheet of paper and connect with them that way too. By the way, we're celebrating not just Mark and Liz, but this beautiful day by having dilly bars for you this evening. So throughout the campus, there are free dilly bars. But before you get them, receive prayer and blessing. Would you stand? And then we'll go. Thanks, Father, for your goodness and grace to us. Thanks for your word and for people like Caleb. We learn so much about Joshua, and sometimes we skip over the beautiful life of Caleb and how we learn from him. And might we be like him, influencers for life. And would you do for us what you did for him? Grant us vision, that ability to see and the faith to believe and the courage to do and the hope to endure those giants that sometimes make us feel like grasshoppers, when in fact you have promised to resource us to face those giants with confidence and faith to the glory of Christ our Lord and Savior. May we be influencers today and all the days of our life through your strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Get a dilly bar, enjoy your evening, some fellowship together.